All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. This week's guest is one of the biggest legends to play pro hockey, a 2006 Philadelphia Phantom Hall of Famer and two-time Calder Cup champion, the flying goalie, Neil Little. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. What is going on, Nasty?
What's up, Big Rigs? How was Cabo?
Oh, it was beautiful. Got my tan on.
Yeah, man.
Disconnected for a few days and back to the real world here. So
good to see you. Good to see you too, brother, man. It's a big week here for the black and orange, buddy.
Yeah, no doubt. It's that the point of the season where these next couple of games kind of make or break their season. The gap just either gets tightened up or continues to get bigger. So
I know, man.
We will see.
It's I hate to say it's do or die, but it's close.
Pretty damn close.
You can't, I guess if you split, you can live with it. I think they're due to win against this team though. Like, we haven't beat them yet this year,
right?
And I don't think they've been playing that well lately, to be honest with you. I don't know if Tuukka Rask is hurt. I should know, but I don't know if he's hurt, but I know he wasn't dressed last game again. And, they've kind of fallen off a little bit, the Bruins.
They have, yeah.
So I don't know, maybe this is a good time after the Flyers last game. I thought they deserved to win. Hopefully they play that way tonight. I think they win tonight if they can play the way they did last game.
Yeah, for sure. They need to kind of crack the seal with this Boston team. And the Flyers haven't been exactly great either. They're very inconsistent. So, you know, I'm not sure what which Flyers team we're going to get. But nonetheless, the points are critical at this point. Everybody knows that. Obviously, if they want to have any chance of making playoffs, they got to start accumulating points night in, night out. Good effort last game. But they just got to put their money where their mouth is and just, continue to find ways to get points. So,
yeah.
I wanted to talk about Sam, Big Sambo.
Yeah.
Adding again, a dimension of energy, another big fight there the other night. You know, again, it's not about the fisticuffs, but it's about the presence, right? I think he kind of acts as the glue there a little bit. You know, he knows everybody on the team. He's been in the system for 5 years now, if not more. You know, I like it. You know, his a sixth defenseman there. He can move up and down the lineup if he has to. If he has to play forward, you know, he can. He's done that experiment before, but I think he's better on the back end. And yeah. Again, you know, he fought a big guy. I think you said he tagged him pretty good there. I think he might be injured.
He did. I don't know. I know he didn't. He never came back to the game. So, and I'm not sure they did play again, but I'm not sure if he played. But Sam, I mean, you know, tried to get the boys going. He did it. Yeah. It's a big man he fought.
And yeah, he is,
probably,
yeah.
You know, Sammy hasn't fought a big guy like that in a while, probably. Like, I don't know who he fought in the American League, but the kid's a big.
He looked big good. Sam looked good. He looked confident. You know,
he was in
kill mode. So
that's the word I was going to say. Like, yeah, that's a perfect where he looked confident in that fight.
Yeah, and that's the attitude he's got to have. I mean, he can be a legitimate top three guy in this league with his size and reach.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Sambo gets mad, he can, he can get going. So I think just a positive there. Carter looked good, you know, being scratched a couple of games and coming back in the lineup there. So there is momentum to build off, you know, and Islanders are certainly a better team than Buffalo. They'd beaten, they lost 6-1, but the previous game they'd come back and won. Yeah. So, you know, they're just going to have to string some wins together. But they got, you know, I think they got a little more juice, a little more momentum behind them. So.
Hopefully we're right this time because we've said this a couple times.
Yeah, I know,
and
right?
It's going the other way. But I really, watching that last game and Carter was really good. I know he's not playing the first game against the Bruins here. Big Moose is, and you know, he plays well there in Boston. And you know, another thing about Sam, I just wanted to say, he's playing well back there, playing deep.
Yeah, he is.
He's just making a simple play.
Making a simple play.
He's not overthinking anything. He's not trying to make the cute play. He's just making a play. That's huge, man. If Sammy can go back, get the puck, make that first pass, that's all you're asking. And then when he has to do the other things, you know, he's doing it. The physical stuff and you know, fighting when he has to. Probably going to be a lot of callers coming after him, except for a guy like that. But, you know, it seems to be more and more on teams now all of a sudden. I know we've been talking about this for a few weeks, but it's increased. And again, like you said, it's not about fighting, but some of it is. It's about standing up for your teammates and all that. And I think Sam's been a spark plug. I know they had the terrible game against Buffalo. Everybody played bad.
Yeah.
Like those kill you, but it was nice to see him bounce back. And like you said, Carter played great. G scored two big goals. I mean, he was possessed, and I think G's playing really well and skating really well. He looks good, but let's hope they get this first one here. You got to worry about the first one tonight and then see what happens tomorrow.
That's it.
All right, Riggs, let's get into our interview with Neil Little, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. It's everyone's favorite tournament of the year. The golfers are in Augusta, Georgia to compete for the coveted jacket. And DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of the action by giving you a shot to land in the green, baby. This week, DraftKings is giving you 100-1 odds on the golfer of your choosing to finish in the top 10. If you haven't tried DraftKings, this is the time, baby. Turning $1 into $100 is simple. Pick any golfer from this week's tournament, and if they finish in the top 10, you cash $100. 100-1 odds on an offer like this doesn't come around often, so sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook now to get in on all of the action and choose your golfer before the tournament tees off Thursday morning. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code Knuckles when you sign up to turn $1 into $100. If the golfer of your choosing finishes in the top 10 of this weekend's tournament, that's code Knuckles to turn $1 into $100 for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer.
And I'm Neil Little.
Welcome, Litz.
Hey. What's up, Titters? What were you afraid I was going to say?
I don't know. Hey, thanks for having me on, boys. I know you've had some good guests. I'm humbled to be a part of it.
Hell yeah, man. We've lots of requests, honest to God, for Titters on the show, man.
Yeah.
So we're happy to finally get you on here, man. You're a busy man. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're doing with the Florida Panthers there?
All right. Well, right now I'm doing pro scouting for Florida, and that takes up most of my time. And the other bit of my time, I'm either golfing with you or taking care of my kids. So, yeah, got three young ones at the house running around, wreaking havoc, running my show.
Big baseball game today, huh?
It's first practice. So,
Okay. Practice, my bad.
Well, Grayson's first practice. He's all jacked up. He's ready to crank some out of the infield.
Well, listen, if anything, if the pitchers come anywhere, if they're brushing him back, I think you've probably had that talk. He's rushing the mound.
He's got
it. Like, it was a lot of what you did, even in a goal, in the goal. You were coming out dropping the mitts quite a bit, buddy.
Is that the tone?
I pick and choose. Usually European goalies were the easiest targets.
Right.
Willahimo, was that his name, the first guy?
Yeah, once that's you get to the guy. North American name, kind of ease off. I know my limitations.
That's awesome, man. So you were the Panthers, Litz, obviously. you guys are having a really good year down there, man. Tell us a little bit about that team.
Yeah, we're rocking right now. So I've been down there for like 6 years now. And I started off there. I was doing, I went down there and I was doing all college free agents. So my first year was strictly collegiate free agents. And I did some, I helped the amateur staff a little bit with some high picks. And then after the first year, we had a kind of a shakeup at the GM position for a little while. And the new GM wanted me to do pro, and I've done pro since, even though that GM's not there anymore. Dale came back into play. Dale Talon kept me on at the pro level. And now with another new GM, Bill Zito, I'm in the same role. So I do pro scouting. I watch NHL games in American League. My area is kind of East Coast. And so I do that. I help with some our high-end picks. So I'd go see World Juniors. Anything first round where you really want more eyes on your top picks. And then I'll do the big tournaments over in Europe. So I'll do world championships and whatnot. See if you can pick somebody off over in Europe that's been passed over or a late bloomer. And so, yeah, so that keeps me busy right through the year.
Yeah. Those trips over for the world championships, they're no fun at all.
Yeah, they're long days,
but it can be fun. I worked a couple world championships and it is fun, but I know how hard you guys work, man. I'm just playing with you, but so let's I wish we had about 4 hours.
Yeah,
right. I've got that much time or more with you for stories, but you're drafted by the Flyers, 11th round. You went to RPI in the 91 draft. You were drafted, and your career starts. So you start off in Hershey. A little bit of a rocky road there. Would you tell us the story there when you got maybe sent home or something?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I didn't know if I was coming or going. My out of my element.
Aaron Israel.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Izzy came in. Izzy came in from, we both got signed out of college. He was playing in Harvard. I was at RPI. So Flyers at that time were kind of struggling in goal. And so they signed these two kids coming out of college. We cruise in and the GM got fired and Clarkie came in. Clarkie didn't know who we were. He's like, we didn't even come to camp. So we signed these big tickets, got some cash in my pocket. And Clarkie comes in, doesn't even invite us to camp. So I'm like, well, I thought I was supposed to be on Flyers.
Just like that.
Oh yeah. We go down to Hershey and it's the same thing. It's like, oh my God, like what are all these goalies doing here? You know what I mean? So Izzy and I, next thing you know, a week later, we're down in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, looking at each other going, what happened?
That was supposed to be in the big club.
Oh man, it was tough.
Culture shock.
Man, it was tough. I cruise into town, Johnstown, you know, it's booming, it's populous. There's restaurants everywhere. Nightlife's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I mean, what more could you want? Sandy white beaches, sunshine. Like, oh man. So I'm stuck in this like 10 by 10 hotel, the motel. There's only one floor in this place. It's like maybe 12 by 12 motel room. It was so small that you couldn't even open the bathroom door without hitting the bed. Like, it's like you got to kind of shimmy into the into the bathroom. It was so small that there was no room for the TV. They mounted the TV way up in the corner, right as you walk in the door. The front door hit the TV because it's mounted up in the corner of the ceiling.
Oh my God.
So I was in there for a couple of weeks going batshit crazy. And then they got Izzy and I to rent a house together. Now there was a good idea. Oh,
I can't even imagine.
We were going at the end of the day, Izzy and I would rotate from, from Johnstown to Hershey. We'd play for 3 weeks a month, go back. We'd switch. So we didn't see each other for a little bit. And then, at some point in time, Izzy and I were there for like a couple months. We just weren't in cards. And, sobriety was not part of our daily routine.
Right.
We'd go to practice and we're just miserable. We have, not a very good team. We're playing, completely bewildered and baffled by the situation. But we're having fun.
That's all that matters, right?
It's not conducive to health and longevity when you're going to
performance.
practice, bar, beer store, home, sit on the couch for 6 hours and play whatever hockey game we were playing at that time. Those little video games.
Yeah.
Right? Repeat. So it's tough to get any momentum going when you can't get out of your own way. Anyways, yeah. That was a tough go. I remember calling my dad. I said, I don't think this is for me. He's like, what are you talking about? I said, you understand what's going on here. Like, I'm not even on their radar. He's like, no, just calm down. Like, you signed up for this, like, stick it out. And then he kind of came to agreement. He said, hey, listen, give it to Christmas time the next year. If you're still this unhappy, we'll revisit this and then we'll go. But I don't want to hear, just work hard, do your thing, smarten up.
Basically smarten up.
So same thing. I mean, the beginning of this, my second year, I believe we went to camp, but it wasn't for more than a couple of days. And same thing back down to Hershey, but at least I had, I knew what was coming. I had trained hard. Like, at least I was in shape and I tried to give myself a chance, but it just went downhill right off the bat. We were bad. And the coach we had at that time was not, it was tough. I don't want to carve a guy, but at that time, there wasn't a lot of friends on his part, I don't think. Like, I don't know. But he was tough. He was tough on some kids that I didn't think he should be tough on. European guys that barely spoke English, and it was just a bad situation. Well, he got fired, and Billy Barber came in. And Billy came in, a couple months into the season, and completely turned around our whole, our mindset, our,
culture.
He gave me something to hang on to, something to hope for, gave me some confidence, kept sticking me in the net, saying good job, just need a little bit of support, a little bit of push. And, it goes a long way, especially when you're a kid and you're out of your element. I think, that's one thing that I look for now. I try to give guys, especially young guys, I give them the benefit of the doubt. And I don't mind giving people second chances because it's tough. Today's day and age, second chances are hard to come by because there's so much scrutiny behind every decision that you make. And I can't believe you gave this. Well, that's not real life. So
you're right.
I learned a lot of things from going through that and that I can apply to my everyday life now, and especially my job, where sometimes, you know, it takes a while. It takes a while for a young guy to get it. It may take twice as long as you think it's going to take, and you're already giving them the benefit of the doubt. So I think patience is a virtue, and I think second chances, especially, you know, young guys often make decisions that maybe if they could take back, they would. So, you know, you always got to look at the big picture. And, you know, I'm glad I went through that adversity, and I'm sure happy that Billy Barber came in and saved my bacon and a lot of guys. Just gave us a whole new attitude and just completely turned our mindset around from negative, like, woe is me, this is brutal, to, okay, here's our goal. I believe in you guys. Here's how we're going to do it. Let's go. Let's have some fun.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, Billy liked that.
Oh, we forgot about that. Yeah. This game can actually be fun.
Yeah.
When I left college, I completely lost that. The principle of, like, actually enjoying what you're doing every day. So it was refreshing and much needed for sure.
Yeah. The year the Phantoms come in, obviously Billy's the head coach. And what a team they put together. Mr. Clark, Bob Clark put together a hell of a team, man. I think we almost won 50 games, won 49 games that year. Really, really good team. Unfortunately we lost, we came up short.
I think I was there. I remember that.
Yeah. You were there. But I was going to say, like,
oh man, how good were we? Oh
yeah. So good.
Stings a little bit.
And it's funny because I know I've talked about Riles before. That first year, I don't know if you remember the Phantoms training camp once we broke, some of the beauties they had. We go to play preseason game, and we've got Brian Kern, the Colonel.
Oh, yeah.
Horacek, Bowen, Frankie Bialoas, Dave McKay. We had 10 heavies. And I know that I don't remember who it may have been. Baltimore, actually. We played Baltimore. They were the Bandits at that time. Sorry.
Come on. Come on now.
And
Baltimore Bandits.
Yes. You didn't hear that too much because they didn't score a whole lot. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah, that was their goal song. Yeah.
Yeah, that was their goal song. That building, I remember. Bruce
and I. The worst goal song ever is in Philly when we let in a goal. Bush and I still laugh about it today. Like every time we make a bad shot, we'll sing our goal song.
Back that first year, Billy was awesome. The team was awesome. It was my first head job. We had Chris Felix, the Cat, our good friend. I just remember the Colonel. I didn't know much about him. I knew he had had some time in the show and everything. He was tough and he was awesome in the room. He ended up not even really sticking around. He didn't even make the team, which is pretty hard to believe, a veteran like that. But I'll never forget him warming up and him doing his drills. Riles, you talk about our boy Gillies with his whole routine. The Colonel had his hands moving so fast when he skated, his glove came off, the top hand came off and went over the glass.
Wow, that's impressive.
I had to get the glove. It flew over the glass.
I've seen it.
So not a smooth skater is what you're saying.
He just, the hands were going like this.
You'll never find a skater like that ever.
It was unbelievable.
He thought he was going so fast. I love
he
that
did.
Guy.
He
oh
did.
My God, he worked so hard. He was so tough. But
you know what? He hurt his knee. That's why. He didn't stick around. I think he hurt his knee and then they shipped him off. Sorry, that's what I meant. Not the hands.
Oh, I thought that's why he had a 12-inch stride. He hurt his knee. I'm like, oh, it makes sense now.
It all makes sense.
Oh man, he was fantastic. I love the Colonel. But, he was a warrior too.
He was a warrior, but we got that. Oh. And fun, yeah. we had the first season there and we're in the Spectrum and they did really well with the season tickets, which is, you know, you're not sure what's going to happen because you have two teams in the same, obviously in a, and it is a big city, but still, we ended up with about 10 sellouts that year, maybe more than that. But I think on average, it was like 13 to 14,000. It was just an awesome atmosphere. Billy made sure there was toughness, you know, which was always there with the Flyers in general. But I remember Sean McCosh, a great player we had on that team, one of the captains, where Riles, it's game two. We played the first game ever, the Phantoms on the road in Springfield the night before. And the next night we're at home and it's like, the score is 2-1 with like a minute and a half to go. And they've like, they've pulled the goalie and Kosher's like, okay, this is what he's telling me this after the game. He's like ready for the faceoff in our end in the D end. And a fan, you know, the little holes where the photographers put their camera. So there's a hole there. And one of the fans goes, "We've secured the win. Now let's beat the shit out of them." It's 2-1 with a minute to go. Yeah. The goalie's we secured the win. Kosher was just like, wow, this is unreal. And then, you know, we've got Frankie the Animal. And this guy's going, his mind, he can't think straight because everyone in the stands are going, "Animal."
All right.
Or we want Frank.
Yeah.
And Billy's like, there's like 8 seconds ago and he goes, "All right, get out there, Frank, but don't do anything stupid." I mean, holy fuck, the whole building's screaming for him. He's got smoke coming out of his nose.
We chased a lot of teams out of the ballpark early. People, like, I talk to guys all the time because, you know, I run into people that we've played against all the time.
Oh, yeah.
On my journeys here at the hockey rinks, because there's still a lot of guys involved in the game, but one of the consensus is they did not enjoy coming in to the Spectrum because for years, Riles, you're part of many of those teams where we were just so tough that you knew within the first 5 minutes that these guys wanted nothing to do with it. Billy used to start Frankie like
foaming at the mouth.
Rolled into town.
Literally.
No tape on his stick. He didn't have any tape on his stick.
Right? No tape. No tape.
What for?
Yeah. I mean, well,
I always tell the story because you're right in on it. You're the mastermind behind everybody's antics. Like, don't let it.
Blamed for a lot of it. I know
you're
that.
You're the craziest bastard on any of the teams. So you remember setting up, because you used to set up Frankie's little thing on the sideboard, just like you did all the time.
Well, yeah.
Master used to set the water bottle in the middle with two sniffers on either side of the water bottle. And then Frankie would come over, their eyes are going like this already. You know, everybody's waiting for him. We're all waiting for you, Frank. Like, the draw is ready. Like, like the refs are at center ice. Yeah. He's over at the bench with Nasty. Going crazy with the sniffers in the water and the hair.
Sniffers in the nose. Breaks them. They're in the nose.
Well, you pour the water all over. I've told this story before, so I apologize if anybody's watching this and has heard it before, but it's worth repeating. So the water bottle's on his head and then the sniffers go underneath that big, long, wet hair. And he like tugs on two sniffers. You don't need two sniffers. No, you need a little bit of one. That's it. Yeah, right. You don't need two full ones up the nostrils. And then he'd flick his hair back and the water would shoot up like 40 feet and he'd like, and the fans would be going.
They're just waiting for it.
Everybody's waiting to spend the show. Yeah, man. Everybody's at the draw, all looking at him. And then he'd look right at their bench. "I'm going to kill you." Everybody's like, "Whoa." Fine. And then he'd have to line up with the poor winger. Can you imagine that guy? He's like,
Oh man.
You want to dance with Big Daddy? That's what he would say to everybody.
No tape.
No, I don't.
I'm a professional hockey player lining up with this guy. Got no tape.
No tape.
No tape on his stick.
I don't know if he wore shoulder pads even. It was
he actually did.
Thins.
But the toughness was there. Billy made sure of that.
Frankie was just the first guy. Couldn't you remember how many?
And there were many guys, just like when Riles came into the mix and that whole team, we'll get into that in a minute. But We end up winning the cup the next year after the disappointment of the first. And that was Litz ran that, ran us through the whole way there. You were unbelievable, man. And the whole team was good. We had a great team. What a bunch of beauties, Riles. Like you would have loved some of these guys.
Oh, he
was. I mean, it was.
Nice. Oh yeah.
It was awesome.
Like a glove, Riles. You would have fit.
Yeah, right.
We had a huge rivalry, not only with just Hershey, because the Flyers had left Hershey as an affiliate and brought their team to Philly, but they had Bob Hartley and Billy Barber, and him just didn't see eye to eye, which I don't know how many people did see eye to eye with Mr. Hartley, but
not many.
I'll never forget. Like, he would call people up, and I just felt so bad for those guys. He'd call up, he would call meet up, Riles, because they just didn't have enough, because our team was, and it would just be an absolute, and they had Wade Belak. He was there. Frankie, well, I think that was
Scott
Wade.
Parker there early.
Yeah, they
too,
had
right?
Parker.
They had plenty.
I mean, they had, but you know what I mean? He would bring these poor guys up just to get pounded.
We were relentless. Yeah. Like, we got two guys on every line that could toss them.
So the year,
plus
so
four the 6D, like, what, yeah, are you going to run? You can't.
Yeah,
you're not gonna,
exactly.
There's nowhere to hide.
There's so much toughness. But the year before, Riles, we had lost to Hershey in game 7. We were up 3-1.
Oh, yeah.
They came back and beat us. And that was, it was just a, it was bad feeling, because everybody knew that we had the best team, but you got to give them credit. They ended up beating us. But so they end up winning. They ended up winning. Yeah, they had Jeff.
Never seen a guy play that good.
Yeah, he was amazing. But so the next year, we're playing them. And Hartley, the place is packed. Every time we played Hershey, 17,380 in the building, sold out. And a quick little thing about Hartley and Billy, it was so funny, because Hartley's looking over at the bench. He had sent a couple guys out, big fight, you know, and he's like kind of snickering, looking over at Billy, and he gives him the old tap of his ring.
Oh, I remember.
Now let's just remember this, though. Billy's got two Stanley Cup rings at the time. And a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, right.
I mean, and you're pointing at your
American League ring, as he's pointing.
So
at.
Billy, it was one of the best. I swear to God, the building, it was so loud. He's doing this, and everybody sees him doing it. Billy literally stood up on the bench and points up to the Stanley Cup banners in the spectrum.
That's beautiful.
And the place just went bananas. And we're all on the bench, you know, and Billy's always like, everybody stay calm and everything. And he's up on the bench. And my favorite about Billy, too, is, boys, lay off the refs now.
Oh,
puck,
yeah,
drop. Right. What the fuck is going on? But Boosh can do. Boosh can imitate Billy so good. Brad, can I talk to you for a minute? He just call the refs over. They finally were like, "No, Billy, we're done, man. We're done." Yeah. But it was great, man. But
Boosh can do anybody.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know who else is really good at that? Fridge and Boosh are actually.
Fridge is really
like
good.
So sharp when it comes to, you know, just. Mimicking,
yeah,
you know, just fiascos, like, and their memories, like, it's like your memory, Nasty. You don't remember. I mean, you don't forget anything. I don't remember.
I am the same way. I don't remember anything
until he reminds me. I'm like, how do you remember that?
Yeah,
like, I remember it now that you say it, but
I
got it on.
One more quick Billy story. We'll move on, because let's get into the next championship and the other stuff. But so. We're on a roll, and me and Litz, we had a, you know, goalies are superstitious. Litz was very focused when he was playing. I will say that, like, he obviously likes to screw around, and we always laughing and having fun. But when it came 4:30 for a 7 o'clock game, he was dialed in, and it wasn't as much, you know, hanky panky going on. But I'll never forget, we played, Litz was on a roll, and I used to tape his sticks for him. So we would try to, if he won, it went again. I mean, I was putting that fiberglass tape on it, then retaping.
Wow.
Because we would roll, I think, would we go five, six, seven games?
Wow, yeah. It was a lot,
the
of,
one
trial,
time
it, we lot of trial
too
tribulations.
Long, yeah. Too long with
the
one stick.
Is like, it's like so flimsy, it's going to just shatter. But we tried going six.
Yeah, I think it was six.
We figured, we finally, through trial and error, we figured five is the limit.
Five's the limit.
That's it.
But I'll never forget, Riles. We're playing, and Litz was rolling.
Just dumb. He's more superstitious than I am.
Well, maybe. But he was, so we're playing in Albany, and obviously he went to RPI right there. And we came in, and I think Litz, I think what had happened was you, I know what happened. We played a game, we get to Albany, and you had some buddies or something, and you end up throwing some back. And Billy comes in the next morning, we come for the morning skate, and he's like, you know, not that he was like going to lean on me for any kind of decision making, but we were just talking. He's like, let's play really good last night. I think I'm going to give him a night off tonight. And I said, let him roll. He's on fire. You know, like he's, you know how he is when he's hot, you know, he's hot. And I think you should let him go. And I think Stutzy, the big red root, Mike Stuthers, our good buddy, he was the assistant coach. And Stutzy was like, let's roll again. Now, we didn't know he's up all night having some
should have
probably thought of it.
Sometimes it got away from me just a little bit.
So anyway, we're in Albany, puck drop, first shot, Riles, right through the wickets. Like he never saw it. Like he didn't move. It just went through his legs and he kind of stood up for terms with the water.
Yeah, it's a little hydration.
So now, I swear to God, so now come down, like maybe a shot, maybe he gets a save, but it's either the second or third shot right through the wickets again. So Billy, because everything's my fault, just like with Dave McIsaac when he's out there playing the guitar, I'm getting blamed for it. Billy, the second one goes in. Billy, I just knew I could feel him looking at me. So I turn to my right, and he goes, oh, yeah, he fucking looks great, doesn't he, Nasty? He calls me Delio or Nasty, and he's like, okay, that's it. And I was like, he's all right. So we get through the next few minutes, and, you know, back then, obviously, there weren't TV timeouts, but there actually were radio timeouts. So they have a radio, and I always, like Litz said, we had a little routine and put the towel there. He's got his bottle. So he comes skating over, and I'm like, in my head, I'm going, well, I wish that hadn't said he should start tonight. But, you know, I'm not going to give my boy shit. He's my guy. And so he comes over all serious, like normal, unless he needed something, he would talk to me. But he pulls his mask down, takes a screen. He goes, do you see those VO bottles that just went through my legs? And I just start dying. I'm like, holy fuck, man. I said, he's ready to hook you and he's ready to punch me in the face. Let's go. And he did not let another goal in. And we won the game. But
no way.
Those pucks didn't even hit calf leather. Like sometimes you're close and they'll just skim the leather on your calf there.
They just went straight.
I didn't feel it. Didn't feel a snowflake.
I don't think you saw it.
As a goalie and you're down two Cobb early, you're looking at the scoreboard. We're every goalie that I know, we're clock watchers, and we're mathematicians. They're like, two goals, three shots. 18 minutes left in the first. Oh,
carry the team.
You're like, okay, just focus on the next 17 shots. Just get back to, you know, like we're just like,
right.
Okay. Like just calm down, 17 in a row, get back to even.
Yeah.
90% at that time was like, okay, now you can go from there. So we're just, you know,
so
yeah, we know all the percentages. So yeah. Yeah. I remember that game. And I remember saying that to you, but at the same time, there's a lot to be said about playing guilty.
Yeah. Right.
You just know what your guys doing it now. It's okay to think back about it, but
well, as long as you can pull it off.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That is the key.
If you can't pull it off, then don't go out. That's the thing. If you know that you, my game was that it didn't fluctuate much. I didn't go out that much, but at, you know, from time to time, I wasn't always known for the, you know, the best decisions.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going another way with that. I was going to say.
It was a little different animal back then too, right? There was other guys running too.
Well, every now and again.
True, yeah.
Yeah. But I had a, you know.
We don't lie here and ask
you. I know it's the wrong crowd anyways. But if you can't do it. If you can't do it, then don't do it. So, you know,
right.
I was fortunate enough. I knew I could dial it up when I needed to. And that definitely was the time you needed to dial it up. Because I can feel the heat. I can feel Billy just burning a hole right through me. Oh, God. That's the time you don't even look at the bench.
No.
Yeah, right.
You know, I was actually shocked you skated like over.
You got a bad shift. You're not going to be turning around and seeing how the coaches feel about it. No, you look straight ahead.
Yeah, right.
So, Riles, let's move a little bit ahead because I'm going to save the best for last, or one of the best anyway. But Riles, you guys, your first encounter with Neil, like, you know, you get here, it's the lockout year. We've talked about this a lot, but what a team. I mean, probably arguably one of the best teams assembled in the American League. I know Norfolk ended up breaking the record that you guys set that year we were there. But anyway, Riley.
That had to be the best American League team ever assembled, ever in history, and won't be touched. Like, I understand what Norfolk did, but Norfolk wouldn't want to play us. There's no way. Nobody would ever want to play them. Yeah, it's
a different era.
It's different, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember Riles rolling into town. I'm like, I like this guy. I didn't even know. I'm like, I like this guy.
Yeah, I told this story before when we had Gratz on, but my first day at the old Hampton Inn, I think we'd played the game, earlier game in the afternoon, and I was staying in a room with David Prince, or Princey, and I felt like I'd known you forever, Litz. I think you have that effect on people, you know, your smile and everything. I'm like, I feel like I know this guy. I mean, did I meet this guy before or whatnot? But you offered to come pick us up and then at the hotel and take us to McDaniel's. And you did. And
shocker.
Shocker, right? Exactly. So ever since then, you and I hit it off. We spent a wild night at McDaniel's there, day off for the next day and the Monday. And the rest is history. That season was amazing. Because I just signed a 25-game PTO that weekend. It landed up turning into, four total throughout this season. And obviously, I was just a small piece of that team. We had an amazing team, all-around skill and toughness and goaltending and top-to-bottom coaching staff. So it was it was quite the season all around, but you were kind of my intro, besides Nasty, in my intro to Philly and the scene on Second and Snyder, the old McDaniels.
Well, I got to tell you, it's like you're one of my favorite all-time teammates. There's guys that you just gravitate towards and you just hang out with, and you know, like there's no judgments. Like you're just like, this is who I am, you know, and that's it. But I got to give Homer credit and the staff that were bringing guys in, because they brought in character guys.
Oh,
character. Even if there was never, sometimes it was second chance guys. But at the same time, if you didn't buy in, you didn't really last that long.
Yeah.
We had a lot of guys coming in and out the door, but we had a group that could pretty much, we could sense like, okay, he's one of us. This is, all right, he's one of us. And, you know, you could sort the deck fairly quickly. So I'm glad that I got to play with you, Riles, and I'm glad I got to play with that whole crew. I mean, I was around for a long time, and I feel blessed that I've got to interact with so many guys coming in, and I hope that I treated everybody with respect and humor and encouragement. I think I that's what I tried to do, especially as I got older, just try to make sure that if you need anything, seriously, I've seen it, I've done it, and I can help you any way you want. So I tried, you know, that's what I tried to do as a veteran player, and especially with my partners. Because it's not easy when you hit that veteran status and now you're a mentor, it's a slippery slope. I tried to just, you know, I appreciated all my partners, and I only wanted the best for them. And I think I wanted the best for all my teammates too. So, you know, I'm just, you know, grateful at the end of the day that I got a chance to meet so many, and hopefully I helped some people out, and everybody had fun. And, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, everybody loves to have a little fun while you're grinding it out, because it is a grind. And we had some teams that weren't that great, but those are some of my most special memories and special teammates, is when you're just grinding it out. You can't bio in. You're working your nuts off. You can't score. You can't, you know, something's wrong, you know, just, but you know, you got all these pluggers pulling in the same direction. That almost is as much fun as climbing the mountaintop and winning the whole thing is being that cusp team that, like, it would take a miracle to get over the line. And that's almost like a championship too, trying to get over that line, trying to be tough to play against every night, just and having fun, but knowing that, listen, we can only win one way, you know?
Yeah.
So that's yeah. also fun. And some of my favorite teammates are from those teams as well. So, yeah.
That was yeah. that just was the crew.
I'm just Kenny Rogers right now. I'm just rambling.
Well, you know, you're right though. But that team,
just Kenny Rogers, the rambler.
You got Dolly there with you. That team though, like we've talked about it. Like Josh Grattan was with us, Friggy, but we talked about how special that team was. And Litz, I know you remember, and we've brought this up before, but Gratz and Riles, their line there in that game where it looked like we were going back to Scranton for a game six, I think it would have been, because we're up 3-1 and they came out just buzzing. We're down four goals in the third.
What were we and down? 4-1, 5-1?
4-5-1.
I don't know. I was on the bench and one, I can't remember his name. He was up and down with the Penguins at the time. And he scored the goal. I can see his face, but he skated by the bench and he's like, and just like giving it to us, like, woo.
Was it Witter? Was it Ryan Witten?
And chirping. No, I was a forward.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember his name, but he looked at our bench and just chirping like,
yeah.
Like we're kicking your ass and we'll see you back in Wilkes-Barre, pretty much is what the gist of the Jap was. And I'm on the bench, you know, Nitty's playing. And I'm like, it's not looking good. Like, we're getting pounded.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was 4-1 or 5-1. I can't remember. But Johnny gives me the tap. I hadn't played in a month, whatever it was, like 3 weeks or whatever. But I go in, and then you guys took over. I remember your line is just like, hey, guys, follow those guys.
Yeah. Look at these guys rolling. It's the energy, heavy the energy. Check. And it's true, though. We laugh. But, I mean you guys dominated that period. And – brought the team, like, next thing you know, they big hits. Oh, goal.
Oh,
he's throwing. I mean, you guys were just rolling. He kept fucking, you were probably dying, Riggs. You were playing so much.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? He kept throwing you guys out there for good reason. I mean, Christ, you guys changed the game. We end up winning the series. And
I never seen a switch flip like that in a game before.
Yeah, it was insane.
I've seen tens of thousands of games, but that was probably, if I had to guess, the biggest turnaround in a small amount of time, because it was a third period.
Yeah, it was third period.
But I remember there was fans everywhere.
Yeah, it was like 20,000.
Place was jammed, so it was so loud. I don't think I had to make more than 2-3 saves, because it was so dominant, but physically dominant. Oh, just crushing! You guys were just crushing them, and making sweet plays. And it was really you guys. Like, we had some skilled lines on that team, but it was our crushers that really took us to another level and won the game for us and really turned around the whole series, like you said. And then it was just, after that we were rolling because we knew we could, didn't matter who we had out there.
Yeah,
everybody could get her.
The league was definitely probably the best that the American League's ever been, maybe gonna be. Hopefully there's no work stoppages so guys are having to do that, but I mean, if you go back and look, you'd be surprised looking at those box scores, seeing some of the names, like, you know, any heavy NHL
all names right
in there, you know, which we know we had about 8 or 9 that were on the Flyers the next year. But yeah, that team, that was one of my favorite. I mean, what a year. I mean, anytime I guess you win, it's gonna be, you know, a memory. But like you said, Litz, there were tons of memories you and I have. And, you know, again, you played with Riley as well. So lots of fun. And I know a lot of people have seen it, but let's just talk about the dive, because that was one of the most epic things I saw you do, which I've seen you do quite a lot. And I know we can't really get into some of it. This is not rated whatever, but anyway, we're playing Binghamton, and Riles, this must have been the year before.
Year before I was there. Yeah.
So we had obviously a tough team, and Craig Berube's on our team. He's a he's assistant coach slash play, you know, player slash assistant. But he happened to be dressed for that game because they had some meat. They had Ray Emery and that, who you say, oh, he's the goalie, but obviously we all know what Ray, you know, Ray could do. Well, Ray, he was a scary individual, and I'll get to that in a second to what I did to Litz. But we're playing them, and all of a sudden there's a scrum front of the net, and we've got Pistol Pete Vandermeer is out there. Jimmy Vandermeer is out there. And everyone's got the gloves dropped, and
wow! And hold on. Well, I'll stop you there. Well, Ray started the whole thing. Who did he spear?
He speared someone, but no one said anything to him about it. I can't
remember. The free pass. Oh my God! I'm looking down from the other end.
Did you mean to do that, Ray? It's okay.
No, I'm monitoring the situation. Like I'm going to take over this story. Anyway.
Because
I'm down there. That's all I do. I monitor the situation at hand.
So I
see Ray go,
yeah,
and just pitchfork. Can't remember who it was, but he dropped like shit, just down. And then Vandermeers are looking around like, what happened? And then, okay, now carry on.
Okay, Ray did start it, but so. It's just big scrum and McGrattan and Jimmy Vandermeer.
The big
urn. Once we get him on, we'll get his side of the story. But he had a great fight with Jimmy. It's funny. Jimmy actually started cramping.
Oh yeah,
you can see it in the replay. He's literally just taking punches from Big Urn, and he cannot move. He's trying to shake the cramps out of his legs. I mean, it was nuts, man. So the funny thing is, where I'm on the bench. Obviously, Neil was down to my right, but I'm standing up looking at the scrum at the other net, and all of a sudden, it's blur. And I'm like, oh my God, it's Neil. And he dives. Obviously, we'll have footage of this.
Yeah.
He goes to like tackle Big Urn. Well, just as he does it, they fall. So Litz goes over the thing. He literally flips over. The whole pile. I'm like, is this old guy all right? Like, he probably broke his back. Yeah, right. He was expecting to hit someone. The place is just going bananas. Thank God, Neil. Ray was pushed off the ice. Got him to the side.
I think it was divine intervention. Because first of all, I didn't know you could jump that high. I'm like, as soon as I jumped, I'm like, too high. Too high, too fast, going over speed.
Major league, too high.
And then I landed on the other side, and I kind of like, I don't know.
We're conquered.
Everybody was like this. They were scared because my
skates.
Yeah.
You know, it's not recommended to jump with you know, blades on your feet over a pile of fighters that aren't looking, but. So everybody's kind of like, what just happened? And then I went down and I turned around and thank the Lord, some little skinny European or college guy was the first one. And I'm looking around for Ray because I'm going down because Ray started it. You know, it's at the end of the day, you only go down because it's 6-on-5. It's unfair. You go down. I don't know why I dove in the pile. I think it was just adrenaline. Get in there for the boys.
Get in there.
Here's your shot.
Because I do love that shit. But I was aware that Ray was on the ice, and I may have to like go with the toughest guy probably on the ice besides McGrattan and Vandermeer boys. You know, a little bit out of my league, but there was the chance that yes. But thank God the first guy I see is this little college guy, and his eyes are like this, like holy what he didn't know what was going on. I grabbed him, I threw him in the corner, and I'm pretending I'm like face washing him. He's talking to me the whole time. Litz, hey, I know your buddy Jimmy from RPI or what.
Come on. Got nothing to do with you.
And I'm out of breath, I can barely breathe. I'm like, just don't worry about it. Trying to catch my breath, see if Ray's coming. I'm like, this guy's scared shitless in the corner. I'm like, all right, just hang tough here. You're all right. Yeah.
So
looking over my shoulder the whole time because I knew Ray was coming. I couldn't get to me for some reason. I don't know.
Thank the Lord. Well, one of the funny things is Riles, this took it took the refs 20 minutes to figure everything out. Like, literally. I mean, we were waiting and waiting, and everybody's on the bench just going, can you believe that shit? That was nuts, blah, blah, blah. So, Johnny Stevens is our head coach, and he's getting guy who he wants the next five to go out because you know how it was back then. There's going to be some more fights.
Of course.
Well, Craig Berube, chief, turns around and goes, get me out there. And he goes, Johnny goes, no, I'm going to wait till the next round. And I remember thinking, what?
What?
Like, oh, what? Yeah, poor guys. Hey,
so he,
could you imagine being on the other bench and hearing that? Craig Berube's coming out third.
Oh, for third, yeah, right? Oh, my
God.
I've only got six minutes this year, coach. I don't want to line up against Craig Berube.
Oh, man.
Well, so finally they get everything back in order. Johnny pulls the five. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I know who took the face off. It was PJ Stock was with us at the time. Now, he had his orbital bone broken, so he was actually wearing a bubble, but he was still just being a prick, you know, being PJ, which was awesome, which we loved. And he was actually a good American League player. He was, but he obviously fought and everything, but he had his cape or he had the bubble on.
Stocker was
so
awesome.
I'll never forget Johnny, like, kind of talking to the boys and everybody's kind of listening. And then Stocker turns around as he's skating and he stops and he goes, watch this. And we're just like, oh boy.
Oh yeah.
The puck hasn't even hit the line. He goes to drop the puck. I don't even think it hit the ice. And Stocker just skates straight to the goalie and runs right into the goalie. And then here we go again. It's five on five fighting again. Then Chief gets to go out after this game took forever, Riles. I mean, it was so long. I think it was the most minutes ever, if I'm not mistaken, in an American Hockey League game. It has to be. We actually ended the game with about under a minute to play, I think, because we had like two guys on the bench.
Oh, really? Wow.
And we had a guy who really nice kid. I haven't spoken to him probably since he left here. Nick Deshames, who was about 6'5", 6'4", 225. They just wanted him to be a power forward so bad. And he wasn't even put on the ice because Johnny knew he wasn't going to do anything.
Wow.
So, but it was just a wild night. So anyway, fast forward 2 weeks. Everyone, I mean, this was on SportsCenter.
Oh, I remember.
It was a shit show. So let's the dive. I mean, I saw it, you know, nonstop SportsCenter is like running all
day.
It got
a lot of play for
it. It got a ton. So leading up to this, 2 weeks later, we got to go to bingo. All the talk and, you know, the little newspaper clippings, you know, they can't wait for the, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
So we go, we get
Johnny Paddock was the coach, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, too tall.
I remember because I'll get into another story, but I coached with Johnny. But that game I remember specifically because I was getting kicked out the first game there in Philly. And he was barking at me, you know.
Yeah.
And I love Johnny now, but at that time we didn't know each other.
Yeah, right. But he liked to have his toughness.
He was chirping me. He's like, I couldn't really hear him, you know, because it's so loud. You can't really, but.
Yeah, it was very loud in there that night.
But I grabbed somebody's stick on my way off the ice. Some forward wasn't looking. I grabbed one of our guys' sticks and I turned around and I pretended to javelin. I pretended to javelin through it, but I stopped at the last second. Like, it's all calculated. And Johnny's like, he's ducking, you know. And I'm laughing. I'm like, ah.
Too tall. Oh man. So Riles, we go into bingo.
Oh,
go out for warmups. Place is packed. Obviously it only holds about 5,000, but I mean, for warmups, everyone's already, cause everybody thinks there's going to be a fight in warmup. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Sure.
So we come out, Litz comes out. They're already firing biscuits off the back of his leg.
Yeah, you know how they skate through the middle outside? Oh, yeah. Just getting out there. Oh, yeah. I skate through the middle, and there's McGraden and Emery at the red line just firing pucks off my back. Oh.
Firing off.
Oh.
Now I'm watching. I'm watching all this, and I'm just like, oh, boy. So Litz has his routine, which we were talking about earlier. So I did fire
a couple back, Riles. As I came around, I took a couple pucks, and I'm firing at Brian McGrath and Ray Emery. I'm like, oh, here's this. Here's a good idea.
Like
let's fire some wristers at the two toughest guys.
So
I'm just I'm bringing on, boys. You know.
Yeah, right.
Oh yeah. So, you're waiting for it. You're ready.
Riles, I've got the towel on the boards, and he's got the water bottle. And Litch used to come over, put his mask down, spray, and then he'd just still tap his little hands on
Bastards are 6 feet from.
They are, I think, less than six. They were right at the red line, and they are, like, drooling over the red line, and they are both going, you're fucking dead, Neil. You're dead, Litz. I'm coming. Ray's telling him I'm coming. McGrattan, Big Earn's telling him I'm coming. You're running. I'm running you through the wall, and I'm, like, listening, and he's trying to act like he doesn't hear it. I mean, they're right here.
Yeah.
And I've got I've got another towel up over my mouth because I'm laughing, and I don't want to him to know, but he sees me laughing, and he just looks at me and goes, real fucking funny. This is really funny. You know, and I'm like, now it really is. So
when you see your trainer with a towel going like this, his head's bobbing because he's laughing because you're getting chirped so hard.
Oh my God. You know? Well, the puck's off the back of the leg. I don't think I'd ever seen that one. And then them literally, they wanted to come across that line. I'm surprised one of them did, to be honest with you.
Yeah, where was the rest of the meat you guys had?
That happened so quick. Yeah. That little there was a fight right away. I think Jimmy Vandermeer fought
first shift
fought McGrattan, if I'm not mistaken.
See, there was two fights first shift. If somebody else would have jumped in, if there was a third fight, Ray was coming for sure. But there was only two fights.
Yeah, and Litz,
second shift of the game.
Litz says to me,
well, let's back it up, which you did before the game.
Well, I was going to let you tell that, but Litz did say to me, I got to keep this close. This guy's coming down here. But, yeah, right. But I'll let him tell you what I did before he went out to the ice.
Oh, you want me to tell you?
Oh, go ahead.
Tell me. Real funny. So I'm getting, I got half my gear off, it's almost warm up. So yeah, I got my top stuff off, just, getting some water, getting prepped. And Nasty comes cruising in the room. He's always like jacked buzzing. Up.
Yeah.
this is like over
next the level.
Yeah.
A little hype.
This is too many Sooties and too many Red Bull. Usually it's like half of that, but now he's like, and he's dancing right in front of me. I'm like, what? What do you want? He's dancing. He's all giddy. He's like, you wouldn't believe what I just saw. I'm like, what? I had to go over to their room. I just walked through their room and I had to walk through the weight room. And what do you think I saw? I'm like, what? I'm trying to get ready for the game. I saw Ray Emery on the bench press, no shirt on, just jacking out 235. Like it was nothing, just pumping him out with his pads on, And he looks over at me and he goes, tell Little he's dead. He's telling this to me. I'm like, oh, hey, thanks for the info.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah.
A little pep talk.
I guess I better keep this one close.
Oh, man. Yeah.
He was kicking. He looked like Bernie with his fucking. You remember how Neil would throw the old kick save out once in a while for good measure? Yeah.
5 minutes before the game and he's telling me about Ray. Why he's jacking out 235 like it was 20 pounds.
And you know what the best is, Litz? And we talked about this Friday when we were golfing. The best thing to me was that we got to meet and know Ray once he came here. The first day he was in town,
First day rolled into town, I called him. I said, hey, let's go. We're going golfing. So I took him out golfing his first day of town. And we got along like P's and Q's.
That's the coolest thing because – it was we used to just joke about it, Ray and I, you and Litz, they end up being buddies, just like all of us were with Ray. And he's like, how funny is that? He goes, I wanted to kill him. Like, I wanted to kill him. I wanted to hurt him. I knew Litz could handle himself in Tilly's, but that one, Litz, as much as I love you, man, I'm so thankful that he did not get a hold of me.
Oh, yeah. There's no tying up the strong.
No.
Yeah.
God, man.
Because you're going to get fed less until you beg for it. Because, I used to ask Frankie, because I'm like, Frankie, how, you know, this we're a tough team when we first rolled into Philly. So I asked Frankie, hey, okay, give me a couple tips just so I don't get my ass kicked, because it's coming. Like, there's going to be line brawls where I got to jump in. So I asked Frankie, he's like, you don't, what the fuck are you talking about? You don't need to fight. You got, what the fuck do you think I'm here for? I'm like, no, just in case. He's like, what the fuck? Just tie up their strong hand and just keep your eyes open.
Keep your eyes. Thanks.
Yeah.
Great.
Like, good advice. That's it. That's all the information. That's it. He's like, yeah, what else do you need? You're fighting goalies. So I took that advice, and it was perfect advice. So just tie up their strong hand, keep your eyes open. They're like, Oz, you fought a guy that never fought before. First thing they do is put your head down and like they're not even watching. So you're just like, all right, I'll just get out of the way of that. And then you feed them in a little bit, especially European goalies. Rouse, could you imagine only having to fight European goalies? It's like,
I'd still be playing.
Like, yeah, it's like you're down on the top.
Lince acts like he was a little nervous every time. If you go to YouTube and you watch all his fights, he had to do the one time he takes the glove, goes the blocker, the glove, and then the helmet. We got a little spin on the ice, and he tellies up.
Show.
We're in Scranton, and I think it was Caron. I can't remember what goalie. It was just little skinny little French goalie. I think that's who it was. Anyway, Lince and him meet. Litz just throws the gloves, but he gives the helmet a toss and kicks it from the side. He gives it a little side foot kick. And I'm just like,
why not?
You're going to mess the mask up, man. Yeah. What are you kicking the mask for? But he always had a flair for the dramatic, as we would call it, before his tilts. But Neil, you were you were a great teammate. I know Riley can attest to that, and everyone you played with, all the guys you played with, and you always came to play, and you were awesome, man. I feel like, I'm not just saying it, but I feel like you should have gotten way more opportunities in the National Hockey League. You were a great, great goalie, you know, great teammate, great friend. And I know everyone enjoyed, everyone enjoyed being on your team with you. That's for sure.
Well, thanks, Bill. I appreciate that. And let's not lose sight of the fact that you are also our teammate and our most beloved teammate. And Riles will attest to that. You're a big part of whatever we did, and you're a big part of my life for a long time. Still are. I love you. Love you too, Riles.
And, yeah, likewise.
For all my old teammates out there that are kicking around and maybe rolling by this, I miss all you guys. I hope everything's going great in your life. And let me know if you need anything. I probably can't do a thing, but I'm thinking. Right? All right.
He's hitting the golf ball pretty good. I know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Hey, before we let you go here, brother, I know you got to get rolling. Talk about your two NHL games with the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, the first. Okay, so I got my first start. Billy was the coach. Billy Barber gave me my first start. And it was a weekend where we had a back-to-back. We had a game at MSG. Yeah, it was maybe a Friday, Saturday. It was MSG and then Carolina, the old Carolina building there. So Billy was going to start me on MSG, and I think I wanted that one. But he changed his mind last minute, I think, because he had told me, you're going to play one of these two games, so get ready. Like, you're going to get a shot here. So it ended up being the Carolina game. So pretty kind of tough at that time. Like, we traveled and then it was like an early game. So it wasn't, so the schedule was off a bit, and we didn't come out to a great start.
No,
I think we got outshot like 14-1 or 15.
It was bad, man.
So it's just like, you know, it was tilted in the wrong direction. And then it was kind of a strange game after that. Like, I think, you know, we got beat 4-1, but they reviewed three of the goals when there was no review back then. There was no review, but they couldn't figure out like what it was, you know, so there, it was delayed. And I remember, Artis Erbe was playing for Carolina, and I think they had just scored the fourth goal. And it was another one of those plays where something happened. I don't know if I got jammed up or somebody, I thought I was interfered with, something happened, but I came up and I was pissed. It's the third period. It's 4-1. My dad's in the stands, flew all the way from Alberta. And I just popped up, and I just remember I was so mad just because it wasn't what I envisioned. this, right. how this game was supposed to play out.
Right.
Even though I felt fine, it's just that it's just circumstantial. It's just, it wasn't meant to be. But I popped up and this guy was right in front of me. I can't remember who it was.
Malik?
Like a little Euro. And he was like standing right in front of me. They were celebrating. I punched him so hard, right in the face, like so hard. Oh my God. Like I couldn't believe I didn't knock him out, but I had my glove on. I was just like, he was so close to me and I was so mad. I'm just like, boom. And so now all of a sudden there's a melee, like this, like everybody's like, what the? And that big, who's the big ref? Andy Van Helman, maybe back
then? Yeah, he was big. Big, huge, big, 6'4", 6'5". Yeah.
So now I'm like trying to get out whoever I can get out. I'm like just like pissed. And Art Disurbe, you know, obviously I get called for the penalty. So he's at the bench. And this melee is going on. I'm trying to get over to Art Disurbe.
Your debut, eh?
I'm trying to get over there. I'm like, he's dead. He's dead because he's over there. And I'm like pointing at him. And he's pointing at the scoreboard. I'm like, that's it. He's dead. And I'm going and I get grabbed. I'm like turning around at Danny Van Helman. He's like, don't embarrass me. Like in this big, deep 6'5" voice. And I look at him like who's got me? Like, I want to go over there and beat up Art Disurbe. Oh, he's got me. I'm looking, he's this big guy, he's got me. He's, I'm not going anywhere. I'm like, he's like, don't embarrass me. I'm like, don't embarrass you. My dad's in the stands. Yeah, right.
My dad,
like,
got like, some work to do.
Yeah, I think my dad's in the stands. Who do you think's embarrassed him? Oh yeah. So.
Oh man.
Anyways.
Yeah, the boys didn't help you out. I remember we were all.
I think I got 12 penalties
watching that game. First game or something like that.
Well, with a bang though. A little street credit.
Yeah, the second game was not a start. It was a finish.
The Tampa was that Tampa.
It's Tampa. Tampa was like number one. I think Carolina ended up going to the finals that year or winning. And then Tampa, my second game, either won or went to the finals. Both those teams were ridiculously good. But Eshie got hurt like midway through the second. And I remember Hitch was coaching. And Eshie goes down with, I don't know, groin or something like that. But it's a 5-on-3 penalty. He goes down like beginning of a 5-on-3 penalty.
Come on in the game, let's.
Yeah, right.
So I'm just sitting there. I'm like, you know, I'm just like, oh, all right. Well, he's down, but usually, yes, you get up. No big deal. You know, he just maybe he needs a break or whatever. He's not good. He's coming on. For the ice. You know, me back then, I'm like, Sooty.
Yeah, right.
You wanted the Frankie Bialoa's two sniffer for that one.
Dude. And I'm taking my sweet time because he's coming to the bench. I got time. Like, nobody's going anywhere. And I remember Hitch's squeaky little voice. It's what are you waiting for? Get in there. Like, you know, that squeaky little annoying voice.
Young Derek.
It's, what are you waiting for? I'm like, relax. I'm getting there. You go in there, Hitch.
Yeah. Welcome to the 5-on-3, Hitch.
Yeah.
Hey, Hitch, be my guest. Go take a stammer clapper when you're chilly as ice. Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to stretch out a little bit. I don't need to hear your squeaky voice.
But oh, my God.
Anyways, I could get out there and sure as shit, like, they're tic-tac-toeing it. And I don't know who was on the back end, but he blew something by me.
Pavel Kubina. I think it was Kubina.
Kubina. Like walked into on top of the circle, and I'm like
top of the circles. The thing looked, I thought it went through the net. To be honest, with
you. I'm like, you know, I've faced some hard shots before, like Huey, like Jamie Heward.
Oh,
I remember Huey balls knocked the wind out of me in St. John's,
yeah,
on a shot to the right below the rib cage here, and I couldn't catch my, like I was like, that was the hardest shot, maybe besides a couple other ones, maybe Johnny LeClaire, but who being a rocket of this thing, I thought I had it, but it was just too fast. It was in off the post. It was like, okay,
awesome.
What are you going to do? It's 5-on-3 goal. And shortly thereafter, there was another scrum, and who put it in? Rosie. With the rosy cheeks there that used to play in Philly there.
Oh, Fedotenko?
Oh, yeah.
Feds put it in. So Feds knocked down a puck in front. It was a big scramble, and he backhanded it, and it was like it went in. And I remember going, come on, like, it's two goals in like 3 minutes. And Feds didn't even celebrate, didn't even put his hands up. He just turned right to me. He goes, I'm so sorry, Litz.
I believe that. I believe it, dude. Rusty, that would be him. I'm sorry, yeah,
it's Litz. The first time anybody's ever scored on me. He probably, I'm so sorry, Litz.
He probably didn't sleep. Rusty, he was probably so upset because he knew you.
Oh, Feds, yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, my God.
So that was it. Those were my two games. Third period, I got out unscathed, but, you know, we still lost the game. I think I took the L on the chin.
It was 2 – I think it was 2-1, and – I mean, there realistically was nothing you could do about either one of those, but
yeah, not a lot of minutes in the NFL.
No.
But yeah, but you're still a legend, brother.
You're a legend, for sure. You are a legend.
At the end of the day, I don't have any regrets, so I think that's probably what I can take away from it. I don't have any regrets. I met the greatest people, and I really wouldn't change a day. As to why I didn't get more minutes, there's a lot of reasons, but I think at the end of the day, you have to take a look in the mirror and say, maybe you weren't as committed as you needed to be. You know, you probably could have made some better decisions here and there. And at the end of the day, people don't know how competitive you are unless you are right beside them and playing with them. So I had the tendency to give off a vibe that, you know, maybe I was a little bit too loosey-goosey, and you know, that's something that you can't control. But I think my teammates know how hard I wanted to win and how much I wanted to win and how I loved the battle and to compete. Maybe not, you know, obviously I was one of the more looser guys when I wasn't playing, trying to keep everybody you know feeling good and making sure everybody's having fun and working hard. But I think, you know, I think maybe it might have been some of a personality thing, and some of it might have been just a full-on commitment. I think I might have been too complacent in where I was. I was having such a good time, and I loved my teammates so much that I think that might have detracted from really setting the bar higher and really going for the goal when I was so happy right where I was. And I think that although I wouldn't change it, because I've learned so much and I got to spend time with people that I love, I think that's maybe why you really got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, okay, you have to take some responsibility for this, because I think maybe that's what happened. You're satisfied because you're so happy. So not a bad place to be.
No, exactly right. And you're able to take all that stuff and all these things you're talking about into like the next chapter of your life, which are arguably more important, you know, say in the real world. I mean, you're still in the hockey space, but you know, you take that energy that you're talking about and that vibe that you're talking about, and you're still exuding that, you know, just in a different form. So I think, you know, you said no regrets. I mean, you shouldn't, but you know, the fact that you're honest enough to acknowledge that, I mean, I had to do some, you know, some mirror looking too, you know, when it was all said and done, and saying, look, what could I have done better? And, you know, you know,
how I don't think, honestly, Ralph, I hate to interrupt you. I don't think you could have done anything better, because I know for a fact, from knowing you this many years and playing with you, that you didn't leave anything out there. There's nothing left to give. You gave it all. And that's why I love this podcast. I love that you guys focus on players that maybe don't get the limelight that they deserve, like hard ass players that go above and beyond. Always throughout my career, those are my favorite players, as the guys that would put it on the line every night. It's a different game now, I understand, but I miss it. And I think it'd be a tragedy to lose that element, because it's an element of intimidation. It's an element of there has to be some fear in a game that is this fast and this physical. I think it's an easier game for a skilled guy these days, because there is no element of accountability or fear. So I miss that, and I miss those teammates that really, you know, they steered the ship, and they were paddling the hardest. So I miss that, and I appreciate you, Riles, and I appreciate everybody that's ever done that job, because I think it's one of the most important when I play it, and I hope it gets back to a little bit of that. I know it can't come all the way back, but I hope that they never contemplate taking the element of fighting out of the game. That's just my personal opinion. I think it's a necessary space. But that's my two cents. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. Riles, I didn't interrupt you. Back to Litz, what he was saying about Riley. I'll never forget Riles. We were getting beat at home, which didn't happen a lot. The Phantom that year, we won the cup. It was the year we won the cup. And I remember Johnny Stevens, and you probably remember too, Neil. We got beat somehow at home. Like, we got beat pretty good. But you had, like, I think you fought three times or at least two times, I know. But I think you ended up fighting. Like, the game's out of hand, and you still were battling because you're like, hey, you got to play us tomorrow, or who, you know, boys, let's go, whatever, you know, what you did and what guys in your role did. But I'll never forget, Riles, you sitting at your stall with your hand, both hands from fighting. I'm pretty sure you fought three times that night, but you had your hands in that stuff. I don't, iodine or whatever, but
yeah, right.
You were like so gassed because your last fight was right at the end of the game. And I remember Johnny coming in just losing his mind, and he was looking, and he looked over at you, and you're like sitting there, and you got both hands in ice, iodine or whatever the hell it is. And he's like, look at that guy right there. You know, he's pointing to you, and you're kind of like embarrassed. I mean, but he was right. He's like, look at this guy putting his balls on the line for you guys, and you fuckers don't show it. You know, like, and I think someone else too, maybe Gratz, and obviously there's probably a couple other guys, but your hands are fucking mangled. But that's what Litz is talking about. And people don't know that sort of shit that, you know, that happens in the locker room and just how hard it was for guys like you and how much it's missed. And I think it's coming back a little bit. You see a few,
at least this year, there's a couple of tailies.
Yeah, this year. It seems to be a little bit better.
You know, in my profession, it's getting harder and harder to find that element. It's such a trait that you look for, because there's not a lot around anymore. I mean, It turns the tide. You can turn a game around just like that. That's like one of the things with my job this year was we're going to try to change the identity of the Panthers. So one of my jobs was to find guys that could play, give the element, just give that ball busting hard ass element, whether it be forward or D. So we got a couple guys. I mean, we got, Riles, you must love Noel Achari. I mean, this kid comes from Boston, works his nuts off, has actually decent hands, but he's and tough as nails. So that's the kind of player that I target. Maybe undervalued somewhere else, or you know, maybe there's cap problems. I just don't want to give him that much money. So, you know, there's always like reasons where I'm reaching to try to find somebody to help the organization. Another one was Hornquist. We made a great deal for Hornquist. So there's a guy that's going to the net. He's taking abuse. Like, that's tough. You don't have to fight, but that's tough. And then we got Lomberg from Calgary. Just a little grinder, speed, he's got some skill, hits a ton, kind of reminds me of Zach Ronaldo. Brought him in. Who else? I mean, just
Radko, so you just Gudas.
Just try to put the pieces together. You try to build a team that you know what you're going to get every night. So I think that's maybe why we're having some success.
Don't forget about the butcher, Radko.
Oh, that's number one. I mean,
butcher, he's the man.
I think I did a full, you know, ballet, tap dance. I sang, I danced. Da, 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 da.
Let's did you get Goody in there?
Oh, yeah. I had my Gouda shirt on. Yeah. So that's like, you know, you got to sell. You got to get the guys you love and guys you think that can turn the, you know, turn the arrow point positive. So,
yeah.
Now I always cheer for the Flyers. I know you guys, you know, we've been talking for a while, but you guys want to talk Flyers and what I see, that's fine. Otherwise, we'll wait for another day. But you know, it's a finicky game, man. It's a tough game. It's a ruthless game. And what have you done for me lately? Is pretty much the name of it. So
yeah. What do you think about the Flyboys? You get to see them quite a bit.
I do. They're one of my teams, so I know them really well. And it's tough to watch, really, because the potential is there, but I think the expectations were overvalued. I think they overrated the kids to thinking they can make the next step when they didn't. So it's team defense first and foremost. I know they're struggling on the back end. I don't want to put out names out there, but when your team defense lacks a little bit, then all of a sudden the goaltending gets exposed. Now you're not getting the save. So now you start blaming goalies. Now you start blame. But at the end of the day, they got a young team that just doesn't play good enough defense. So they'll learn, but it's a painful process when you're on the outside looking in and you're trying to get to that space. And when you have veteran guys that maybe aren't getting to the slots that they need to be, I mean, I'll give you the lines of how I'd play them, but I'm not in charge. So, but I see like little snippets and everybody's probably worried about Carter Hart and, oh my God, what happened to Carter Hart? What happened to Carter Hart? That's the thing. He's a kid. He's finding his way. He's one of the best young prospects in the league. He's got a game that you can fall back on. I've seen guys just go the other way, but it only happens when you're on the other side of your career and you can't get it back. You just can't get it back. I've seen guys go down. You've seen
it. Yeah, you've seen it.
You get to an age where if you hit a rut, you can't get out of the rut. It's too difficult because goaltending is the toughest position mentally to just short-term memory, blah, blah, blah. But Carter's game, I don't worry about because his foundation is so strong. It's just a matter of, everybody playing a little bit better for him. And then he gets his confidence. Everybody gets, it's just a continual confidence thing. And then Elliot, I love Elliot. I think he's the perfect complement to Hart. You know what you're going to get every night. He's one of my favorite guys to watch, underrated as a backup. And I could go through the whole lineup. I love a lot of your guys, but I know a lot of guys are underachieving.
Yeah, for sure.
When I say your guys, I mean, we're all part of this orange and black for a long time. So there's some underachievers, guys that got to raise the bar. And at the end of the day, you got to go defense first.
Think
team. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And then a couple elements you talked about with Florida, how you helped, make some additions there. I just feel like they're missing those ingredients. Like there's, you bring up Sam, you got a little juice, you got a little grit, but there's like that some of their losses weren't just like losses on the scoreboard. They're like emotional, like spiritual losses. They're like, where is your jam? Like, as a hockey player, it's like, you're missing that ingredient. So to
me, those ones sting. Those big ones, that's a crippling loss.
Yeah.
You don't want too many of those because those ones linger.
Yeah.
And not only do they linger on the ice and in the locker room, they linger in the office.
For
that's
sure.
That's where you don't want it to linger.
He's got these guys stewing over these losses. Yeah, because that's no good for nobody. Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of reasons why they haven't played to the potential, but they're young and a lot of them just don't know how to play solid two-way hockey yet. There's a lot of skill. I think maybe they're a little bit too easy to play against. There's not a lot of grit. So I think they're missing a few elements, but it's not that far away. It's not panic. It's not like, oh my God, we got to throw in the towel because they got some great young prospects coming. They got some great young prospects on the roster that have been forced into minutes that they probably shouldn't be playing.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And like you said, consistency, right? I mean, these young guys don't know how to be consistent as a pro. They've never really been put in a situation to be. And then you got, Lindblom and you got, Nolan Patrick, essentially write-offs this year, coming back from some serious stuff, they're in positions that maybe they shouldn't necessarily be maybe right there right now in the moment, but so I think it's a consistency issue. As we see, it's like they show flares of being a really good team, and then they show flares of really being a really bad team. Like
if you look league wide, and I don't want to understate this because I think it's a huge factor. This is a really, the strangest year that these kids will ever go through.
Right.
So I'm reluctant to hit the panic button because this COVID has disrupted so many lives.
Yeah.
And could you imagine these young kids, these young guys, single guys, finally getting over the hump, finally making an NHL roster, and you can't hang out with your teammates?
Yeah, I know, right?
You can't go to the restaurant. You can't interact. You got to, you know, like it's
sure.
So yeah. These kids have actually got to be pretty mentally strong to get through this. I hope everybody's getting some help and some
it's a good point
and some guidance because I know you know, mental health is sometimes an issue that's overlooked, maybe the most in professional sports. So I hope that these kids have someone to lean on and someone that's guiding them through this process, you know, besides their parents. You know, you need professional people to make sure that everybody's head's on straight.
Yep. So true. Well, we appreciate you, brother. I know you got to get rolling. Big baseball practice today.
But
we appreciate obviously you coming on here and carving up the time and sharing some stories. It's always good to see you.
Always good to see you guys. Love you guys. And I'll see you as soon as I can.
All right, brother.
Sounds great.
Okay. Keep it rocking. I love this show. Keep it rocking, boys.
Thanks, brother. Love you, man.
See you soon. That episode was brought to you by Deal Dash. It's no surprise that I love winning. Just like in 2005 when we won the Calder Cup back in the day, Nast.
Oh, I remember that, boys.
Been chasing that feeling ever since. I may have retired off the ice, but I'm still winning because now I use Deal Dash, the online shopping platform that is actually fun. Deal Dash is the longest running petty auction website and app around. Too good to be true? You bet it is. I've seen a car sold for $900 and a brand new TV for less than $2. Don't be a loser. Stop paying full retail price for the things you want and get on Deal Dash. Go to DealDash.com or download the app now. By the way, when you register, enter promo code Knuckles. That's promo code Knuckles for a special offer. And I also wanted to thank our awesome guest, Mr. Neil Little. What an awesome human he is, Nast.
God, man. People don't even, you know, if you've met him, you've been lucky enough to meet this guy and know him. Just one of the best people you could ever meet in your life.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah. Quality human. He was an amazing teammate, obviously. And he had a great pro career. And nice to see him doing well and staying in the hockey world and scouting. He's been doing that for years now, but I think he's moving up in the scouting world. So always good to see his smile.
Yeah, I tell you what, man, that guy's a charmer. I've seen it.
Yeah.
We won't get into everything, but I've seen this guy's good, man. He's good. Great guy, man. You're like you said, what a teammate he was. You know, even when we won the cup there, like we were just talking about in 2005, you know, he wasn't the number one guy, but what a guy for Antero Nenemäki to have as a backup. Like, you talk about just a guy, you know, Litz knew he wasn't the number one guy anymore, but I mean, he did anything he could to help Nitti and they were like, I mean, God, they got along so good and they, you know, they've stayed in touch.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they were perfect together. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better combo than those two. It was awesome.
He had an unbelievable attitude. I mean, it certainly made Nitti's job a lot easier and John Stevens, right? I mean,
True.
You have a backup that is fully accepting of his role and has an amazing attitude, not just with Nitti, but with the rest of the squad. So he made that whole process easy on the coaching staff. And when he was he was good, man. He was still sharp, throwing the two pad stacks and the old toe saves around.
I used to love when he would do that. And once the play got out of the end, he would like always look over me at the bench and be like, like nodding his head. I'm like, I saw it. You met. What a mess that guy was. He's awesome. Oh God. Love him. Love him. Yeah,
no doubt. All right, Nast. That pretty much wraps up episode 17 of Nasty Knuckles. Let's be sure to tune in next week. Knuckleheads, stay safe and have fun.
See you, knuckleheads.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.